Hello. Like Ty said, my name is Johan, and we're always thrilled to be here at the conference every year. This is our seventh time that we are attending a conference, and it's always refreshing for us to be here and really get filled with the Word of God and just the fellowship and just the atmosphere. It's great to us every year to come here. I work as a school teacher at the senior high school in Stockholm. And like Ty said, I'm not going to be like an expert on the topic for everyone, because you all have different jobs and you're all in different places. So I'm going to try to go from the scripture a little bit about, you know, being a witness, about prayer, how prayer can be important, and about being filled with the Spirit. When Tice sent me an email, asked me if I could share or teach a seminar on this topic, I thought, well, I don't think I'm the right guy to do it. maybe someone else should do that, you know, that's more of an expert maybe, or has more of a testimony to share. It took me a long time to get back to him, and he kind of sent me another email. He's like, did you get my email? And what's your answer? And I'm like, still thinking about it. And eventually, I sensed that maybe the Lord was telling me that this is a good topic for you. So my study, I'm glad that you're here to share it with me, but my study is mainly for myself, and you're welcome to take part of it, so, because I need it. I've also been to the States in California. I lived there for 2 years to study the Bible, and I thought it was a Bible school. My friend told me it was a Bible school, but more advanced, until the second week when one of the pastors came up and said, if you're not called to be here, you're wasting your time and you're wasting my time. And I thought, I don't know if I'm called to be here. And I didn't really know that it was a pastoral training school. But anyway, my friend that took me there, he stayed for 3 months. And then he went back. And he had planned to stay there for 2 years. My plan was to stay there for 3 months. And I ended up staying for 2 years instead. So, and it was really a humbling experience to, you know, learn the Bible, but also we were required to teach every week. And, you know, to teach is one thing. To teach in English is another thing, you know. To be, you know, to feel liberty in a language that's not your mother tongue. That was a challenge for me. But anyway, a verse that really came to me was in Jeremiah 1:8, where it says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you. And it's funny, when you teach or when you preach or, you know, you share whatever, you look around and you see a lot of funny faces. You know, people go like, and you go like, is it just green with me? Or am I saying something wrong? Or is this okay? Or, you know, and it's so easy to get caught up in that and like, maybe I'm not saying the right things. And to me, it was like, don't be afraid of their faces, because I am with you, the Lord said, to deliver you. And I remember one time when I was up in, this is not my study, by the way, this is just a long introduction, I guess. but I remember I was one time I followed along with a friend, and we went up to Skid Row in Los Angeles. I don't know how many know Skid Row. Yeah, it's a rough place. Most of the people seem to live on the street. A lot of drug addicts, a lot of rescue missions, and we got to preach at a rescue mission. Me and my friend, and he was teaching first, and I was going second. And I looked at the people, and I went like, I have absolutely nothing to say to these people. I mean, who am I to share something? Like, my life is probably totally different than their lives. And I looked at the clock, and I got, oh, okay, I'm up in 5 minutes. There's still time to run away, you know? I can just run out of here. But I came up, and I taught a message from the Bible. And I looked at one guy who was sitting really close, and he kind of had that face that, you know, when the sermon is over, I'm going to kill you, you know. And I'm like, wow, you know, and, you know, you try to be like, you know, well, I'm in a good place to die for Jesus and all, but maybe not today, you know. So, but after the service, he came up, and he's like, that really spoke to me, man. Really? And I'm like, whoa, you know, you're not going to hit me? So, so anyway, the Lord is good, and He can use even a donkey. So I hope my prayer today is that He would use this seminar and speak to us. But let's pray before we begin. Father, thank You that we are here. And I thank You for the people that are here that have rejected the Son outside, but not the Son of Christ, the Son of God, and to come here. And I pray that You will use this this study, this workshop, and to encourage us, Lord, in our daily lives, to see that our job could be a ministry also, an opportunity, Lord, to share Your kingdom and to be kingdom people every day in everyday life. So bless this study, and we welcome Your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here at the conference, we go through a book of the Bible, and it's mainly verse by verse, and that's usually what I teach or try to teach, like verse by verse, going through a book. This is going to be more of a topical and just some thoughts and some Bible verses too. So just so you know. When I was about 10 years old, there was a movie that came out, and it was a movie about Dian Fossey. How many of you know Dian Fossey? Have you seen the movie? Yeah. Anyway, it was about her life, and she studied gorillas for 18 years, mountain gorillas, and she lived among the gorillas to study them real close. And she even developed like friendship or a really close connection with these gorillas. And I'm just fascinated. Like, I enjoy nature and I like animals. My wife would testify of that. I'm really interested in animals. But just how people can study animals for such a long time, like every day. And when I thought about that, I thought about work. And I thought about, you know, people at your work and at my work, they're studying my life. They're really close to my life. They might not, you know, study my life and just see whatever I say or do or whatever. But it's the people you spend pretty much every day with, at least like 5 days a week. In Sweden, we work 40 hours a week. So I spend 40 hours a week with my colleagues. So when they know I'm a Christian, they have a good chance to study what it means to be a Christian. Why are you working where you work? Who are the people that are around you? How many Christians do they have in your life, in their lives? And your life might be the closest to the Bible these people have access to or will ever look at. I mean, they have the Bible, but they might not open it and read it. And your life might be the closest thing to a Bible that they have ever been to when they look at your life. In the book of Esther, you're familiar with the book of Esther and how Mordecai said to Esther, and he was a little concerned about what was going to happen to them, if they were all going to be killed, and he told her that, you know, you're probably not going to be spared, and you're not going to get away just because you're in the kingdom or in the castle. And he said, "Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And I think it's interesting to see, who knows? Maybe the Lord has put you in your workplace for such a time as this, with the people in such a time as this, maybe for a season. But that might be enough for them to see something about Jesus that they didn't realize before, or something about God that they didn't know. I think my main text today is going to be from 1 Peter 3. So if you want to turn there to 1 Peter 3, 15 through 17. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. And that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." So first of all, we see here, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Meaning, let Him be special. Like, first place, the Lord. In everything you do. Then it says, be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in you. Meaning, when people ask you, like, why do you think it's going to be all right, you know? Or you seem to be at peace with, you know, the difficulties in your life or what's going on. Why is that? And then you have an opportunity to share, like, why you feel at peace in your life, or the hope that you have in Christ, the people. My first point is witness through your actions at work. Francis of Assisi, and I'm not really like, I can say that his theology is this and that, or I agree with everything or whatever, but he said something. He said, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. And some people, they get upset and like, well, should we Christians just go around and say nothing? And just, you know, act nice to people and feed the poor and not tell them the gospel? What does he mean? I think he means that we should tell people the gospel, tell them about Jesus. But just like Daryl said when he came here, he said that action speaks louder than words. And sometimes, you know, people will see you and they will look at your life for a long time before they have the the guts to actually ask you, like, so you're a Christian, you know, you go to church and, you know, why and, you know, how did that happen and stuff like that. And it might have taken them a long time to think about these things. And some people might look a little hostile, you know, yeah, Christianity, that's just, you know, children's book, you know. But then after a while, you know, they see you and they're like, so, you know, you believe in this stuff, so how's that? You know, why? You know, you don't seem like unintelligent, so what's the deal with you, you know? And I think we as believers should be, you know, we are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And I think we should be different at times. Our actions should actually differ from the world at a lot of times. Not saying that we are, you know, we get saved by our actions or, you know, what we do. If we get saved or not saved, we know that salvation is a position, but our actions matter. You know, being a witness is what you do and what you show people what you do. Faith without works is dead, James said. Seems a little, you know, a little harsh. But if you think about it, it's like if you believe in something, that's what you act upon too. You know, if I open a door, I turn the doorknob, and I think the door would open. Otherwise, I wouldn't try it, you know, because I have faith that it will open. And the same way in our Christian walk, it's we act upon the Word of God because we believe it's true. So our actions should follow the Word of God. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I don't think this means that you should, like, okay, I'm going to do something nice now, so you might want to turn your eyes this way because I'm going to, you know, do something amazing just to, you know, shine my light, kind of, you know. But I do believe that we should make, you know, the kingdom of God evident to people in our everyday life. I mean, I could say my work is well, it's my tent-making business, you know. Have you heard that expression before? It's just my tent-making business. You know, that's just what I do so I can do ministry. But if you turn it around and you look at it, like if you spend so much time at work with unbelievers, you know, it's an amazing opportunity. And I know in my job, I'm not allowed to share the gospel. You know, I can't preach the gospel at work. And I teach math and English, and I teach religious science. And religious science is really good because you teach all the main religions. And I can teach it in a way to make my students think. Because some of them are just, you know, yeah, you know, God, wasn't that like 200 years ago people believed in God and stuff? You know, because we don't believe in that anymore. Never heard of, you know, Jesus, was he the one who got married on Easter? Or, you know, something like that, you know. It's amazing how little the students know today. Are we recording this? But just to tell them a little bit about, you know, the life of Jesus, I usually tell my students, you know, the context he lived in with the Pharisees and the Romans and, you know, their expectations of Messiah, how the Jews thought the Messiah would come, and how Jesus came and he talked to the Pharisees and he was really hard on them. And because Jesus' idea was, you know, to make it easy for people to see God, you know. And it's, you think like, well, people are not interested in religion today. But when you start, you know, sharing or when you start to teach things like that, it seemed like the students they're pretty interested in that. They're like, I didn't know that. So Jesus was kind of, you know, radical in a way. And you go like, yeah, right on. He was a rebel, you know. So I don't think we should be afraid of sharing, you know, in whatever way or capacity we were able to do at our work. But let your light so shine at work. Sometimes you can be a good witness at work, I believe, by doing a good job. I mean, by being good at your job. You might be one of the best ones at your job. And you can, you know, share your knowledge to other people or your work associates. And I think that's cool. That's a good witness. Sometimes a good witness, I believe, could be having like high work ethics. Doing what you're paid to do. You know, if I would sit and I would tell my colleagues, like, yeah, it's amazing now, you know, semester's over and, you know, I can just be here on Facebook and, you know, I prepare a little bit of my sermon, you know, on this time when I don't really have much to do and my students are, you know, having the summer break. I think that's not really a good witness because, you know, I'm paid to do my job and to do it well. So having like high work ethics could be a good witness, I think. I mean, you have the right to have a break probably, you know, where you work. But if you have like an hour break or you go someplace else and shop during your when you're at work, it might be the best witness. Maybe spreading a good atmosphere. Like doing extra things that make people enjoy coming to work. Show your colleagues that you care for them. Ask them how they are. Say encouraging things. I don't know if you're encouraged when someone tells you something nice. I am. Ask them how their weekend was and listen to them. And I think listen to people is a big thing. I have been to some parties or some weddings when they've mainly been Christians and sat next to someone and, you know, you start talking and asking them questions. And then after an hour, you realize that this guy that I'm sitting next to, he hasn't asked me one thing about my life. I mean, not that I have to talk about my life, but he's just going on and on about his own things. And I'm thinking like, well, if I was an unbeliever, I would go like, well, these Christians, they just talk about themselves, you know? They don't care about me. I could just as well, you know, might as well leave and he would keep talking, you know, doesn't matter. So I think it's good sometimes to, you know, listen. And then if you listen, you know also what's going on in people's lives. Wow, this seems hard, you know. Maybe I can pray for you in that area. Would that be okay? And go like, will you do that? Wow, you would pray for me? Wow, thanks. I don't know if it helps because I don't believe in God, but, you know, wow, cool. Respect your boss. You might not always agree with all decisions, but I think it's biblical to be respectful. And if you disagree, I think you should disagree in a constructive way and say, well, I don't think this is the right way to go because But if you disagree and you tell your colleagues, like, our boss is stupid, I don't think that's really biblical to do that. And it's not a good witness. Be competitive at work. Try to be the best at work. Some jobs, maybe you're in the sales business or something like that, and you're required to sell as much as you can. Or in some areas, you're supposed to be competitive or be the best, or you know. And I think you could be competitive, but I don't think you should be that on other people's costs. I mean, on other people's expense. Like, if I would say something that would make myself seem better, you know, I saw him today, so clumsy, you know, doing this and the other, and he called the guy, and it's just, wow, I was just embarrassed how he did it, you know. But the way I would do it is that, you know, and you kind of make yourself look a little better. Instead of, you know, maybe approaching that person and say, yeah, you know, sometimes I do this, and, you know, might be good. Yeah, you try that if you want to. I mean, you can kind of help your colleagues and share the knowledge that you know is good and works for you. How many people have gossip at your work? One, two, few, yeah, lots. It's so easy to be drawn into that. You know, you want to be one of the, you know, you want to be one in the group, right? And it's so easy to be drawn into that. Yeah, I know him. You know, did you see the way he dressed today? That's amazing. You know, yesterday, and you tried to come up with something just to earn a few points. And then, as a believer, I really hope, and I think you do, kind of feel bad afterwards. And you go like, I shouldn't have been involved in that. I should have stood on his side, or I should have just left. Or you could have said, you know, well, he's kind of cool, you know. He's, you know, what he did the other day, it was really good. He said this to that person, and yeah, I really enjoy what he's doing. You know, I like him. He's cool, you know. And that gives him, you know, a few extra points, or her. And it might be hard to do because you're sitting in the group and you have four other people and you yourself, and you're kind of going against them by saying, like, you know, yeah, I kind of like him, or I kind of like her. And the other people go like, oh, I feel bad with what I said. And you don't want to offend anyone, but I think you should do that. You're not called to gossip or slander, trash talking. I think Raphael read it from today, 1 Peter 3:9. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you're called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. That's what we're called to do. These are just things that I've written down, and my main question is probably, like, how can you be a good witness at your work? And you all know where you work and what situation. And how can you spread, you know, the love of Christ at your working place just by through your actions or the way you behave and stuff like that? But I've written, choose your battles wisely. Because at work, you work with people that you haven't really chosen, unless you have your own company and stuff like that. But you might not always agree with your work associates. And sometimes you have a disagreement. Sometimes you're kind of fighting over something, maybe. And ask yourself, is it really that important to be right? I mean, in the first place, are you right? Or in the And second, is it that important to be right? And do you need to win the argument? Or can you just let it drop and say, well, this is not, I'm not going to fight over this, you know. That's good. You have a point. I don't really agree with what you say, but yeah, I'll think about that and leave it. And there might be other times when you need to stand up for something that's totally wrong. And you feel like, well, this is wrong. This is unrighteous. This is just maybe against the law, and we're not going to do that. And I don't think, you know, in the way I see it, God's not going to bless this. So I'm going to fight over this, you know. There might be times for that too. So choose your battles wisely. My second point is love. And we've heard a lot about love. I think Raphael brought up a lot this morning about love should be the motive to things. And if you want to, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13, verse 3 and 4. And we're going to hear a study on that on this next year. So, but I'll read it as a cliffhanger. You're all familiar with the chapter. We call it the love chapter in Sweden. It's many times is read at weddings. But it's interesting because it's in between chapter 13 and 15. Or it's chapter 12 and 14, I should say. And you're like, yeah, it makes sense. Yeah. He's a math teacher. No, but it's interesting because chapter 12 is about, you know, spiritual gifts. Chapter 14 is about, you know, spiritual gifts used in the church. And this love chapter is in between. And this is like, it's so important to Paul that if your motive is not love, it's worth nothing. And if witnessing or sharing with people, if love is not the root, or if love is not the motive, I believe that people can sense that. So this is what Paul writes. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. If you continue to 1 Corinthians 14 and chapter 1, or verse 1, sorry. Paul continues and he writes, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. I find it interesting that it says pursue love. And then 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 and 14, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love. And like Raphael was talking, like love should be the motive of things that you do. And here it says, pursue love. And I find that interesting because sometimes I would like to love my colleagues or my students, but to be honest, I don't always feel that way, you know? I don't always, like, love all my students. And I can go like, well, they're not really that lovable, all of them, you know? But, you know, I think Jesus loved everybody. And I want to be more like Jesus. But I don't think I can do it in my own strength. So when it says pursue love, the way I interpret it is to go after love, you know? And the way I can go after love is by asking God to give me that love. That's what I believe. And I believe that God can give me that extraordinary love for my colleagues or for my students. And maybe for some people that you have trouble with at work, you know. You might feel like, well, I'm always disagreeing with this person. Or, you know, she's just really annoying every day. And I have to go to work every day. You know, if you would ask God to give you love for that person, I think He would. Pursue love. Romans 12 said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor all, what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. I think people are smart, you know. They can see when you are real and when you're sincere. I was talking to Douglas last night a long time about, you know, being ready to give a reason for the hope that you have, and when the people really can see when you're real with them, you know, when you actually care for them, and when you're trying to put up a face of like, you know, so how are you? Good? All right. You know, I love you. You know, they could see like, well, why do you say that? You never said that before. You never showed anything like that before. And now all of a sudden you say you love me just because you went to a Christian conference and you feel like, you know, God has touched your heart and now you're going to tell everyone you love them. But when you're real with people, when you sit down, you listen to people, you care for them, and you're like, wow, you're, oh, it seemed like a mess you have there. Can I do something for you? I mean, we're a church. We might be able to do something or at least pray if there's nothing practical, you know. I think the people can sense that you're real. You really mean this, right? You know. And people are smart. They can see through you. Don't make your colleagues salvation objects. Because people are true with true feelings. I find it interesting that my wife, Evelina's colleague, said to her one time that she discovered that there are Christians and they are those that are real Christians. She didn't say what kind of Christian Evelina was, though, but I'm pretty sure that she was like, you know, I have found that there are Christians and then there are true Christians, you know. And she wasn't a believer. But she had seen, like, there's a difference between people that I think they take it seriously, you know. They're like, you know, I believe in this stuff and I'm going to do things that seem, you know, unnecessary to the world. A little extreme to the world, maybe. We have had people coming to our church in Stockholm, and it's all the, you know, the work of God. But people have come to our church and told us that, you know, there's something about the atmosphere here. And we don't condemn them when they say, you know, there's a positive energy here, you know. If I would go up to them and say, like, we don't do New Age here, there's the door, you know. Because they feel something like, you know, yeah, there's something, I can't say what it is, but it's something special here. And we have had a few music cafes when we play music and invite people to come and, you know, have fika. And it's just been a great way to meet people and, you know, just invite them. Like, yeah, we have church here too if you want to come. Or just talk to them. In a sense, like, wow, it's such a good, you know, atmosphere. And nobody's, you know, I thought it would be like a pub or something, you know, that people would serve alcohol, but there's no alcohol, but people seem to be happy anyway, so. And we take that as a good thing, you know. We don't say, like, we don't do New Age or, you know, take your positive energy and leave. Because people outside, they speak a different language. Sometimes we get hooked on the religious terms. You know, this is what you're supposed to use. But just love. Love should be the motive. And then I've written down prayer as a key in different ways. Paul writes in Ephesians, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 3:14-17, if you want to follow. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might that through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." I think it's a great prayer. And the reason I'm going to bring up prayer is a few different aspects. I think you as a Christian, you have a great opportunity to pray for your work. I don't know if you do that. You probably do that. I don't always do that. Sometimes I'm reminded, like, I should pray, you know, for my day. But pray for the place where you work. Pray God's blessing over your work, over your work associates, and that God will give you wisdom and knowledge how to do a good job that day. And if possible, you know, maybe the Lord will open up, you know, a small door to share the, you know, the love, his love to people. Pastor Chuck said to us, and I don't know if it's his quote or someone else's, he said, "I have such a busy schedule today, I don't have time not to pray." And I thought that was interesting, because we sometimes say, like, you know, I have so much to do, there's just no time for, you know, prayer stuff. But he said, "I have such a busy day today, I don't have time not to pray. I need to pray, because otherwise I'm going to do the wrong decisions and I'm going to run everywhere and it's just going to be a draining day." So pray for your work, pray for your day, pray for your colleagues. And I think you'll be more engaged in their life and the Lord will give you love for them. Offer your colleagues to pray for them. It's a great way of witnessing, I believe. And many are more open than we think to prayer. At my previous work, I had a lady that was into New Age, and her daughter was in a bad place. She was depressed, and she wouldn't come out. She was just locked herself up, and she wouldn't come out. And she came to me, and it's like, you know, this is how it is, and I'm just going to ask you, like, I know you have a connection with God, you know, and I'm like, connection, we're not calling it connection. No, I didn't say that. I'm like, yeah, could you, you know, maybe you could pray for the situation. I mean, what do you do? It's like, it's amazing. You come to me and ask if I could pray for your situation. Of course I'll do that, you know. So I prayed for her situation and I prayed for a few days and then I didn't hear from her on a day. But then she came back and it's like, thank you so much for praying. You know, my daughter came out like yesterday and things are a lot better. It wasn't like she was, you know, now I'm happy, you know, she came out, but at least she came out and the situation changed. They sat down and actually talked. And she was just so thankful that I would pray for her. And she called it connection. And she was, you know, I talked to her about Jesus. And she was like, yeah, Jesus is good. You know, it's really hard to reach because it's like Jesus and this and that and this. And yeah, you know, I have an angel that's watching over me too. So that's good, you know. It's like, ah. But anyway, something was sown that day, I think. Evelina's been really good, and she's prayed with a few colleagues and asking them how we can pray for them. And we have a study group on Tuesdays where we meet up, and we try as much as we can to focus to pray out, not just the needs of just our little group and what we're going through, but also try to pray for our colleagues, our friends outside our, you know, family and stuff like that. And just to ask your colleagues what's going on in their lives. And Evelina has a few that we're praying for. And just by praying for them, you know, you can come up to them and ask them, like, so how's life? You know, we prayed for you Tuesday. So what's happening? You know, and they'll go like, wow, so you really are praying for me or for my family. That's, wow. I just thought that was something you said. And it's a great way to reach people with the love of Christ. And I would just encourage you to take that step and, you know, offer that opportunity to pray for people. Because I think a lot of people are open to receive that. Even though they might not believe in Jesus yet, they're open. Like, yeah, cool. You know, you do something good for me. In that sense, I don't, you know, really believe that what you're doing, or I don't know what you're doing, but wow, cool. You do that for me. It's something extra. Take the time. We also had a time on a Tuesday when we prayed, for people around us, and we asked the Lord to. Sometimes we ask the Lord to speak to us, and it was cool this one time because we in the group, when we prayed, we received a word of knowledge for one of the guys in our group. And we received a name that he would meet a guy, you know, with the name Andreas, I think it was. Yeah. And just a little bit of, you know, background where he came from. Like, I believe he has a praying grandmother or some kind. He's an honest guy or something. So. And it was, you know, somebody shared that, and this guy in our group, he's like, that's really cool. I'm gonna work with a guy, and his name is Andreas, tomorrow. And that's like, we've never worked before. But yeah, we're gonna drive for a while, and we're just gonna be you and him and me in the car. So, wow, that's really awesome. And he was really blessed. And our whole group was really blessed. Like, wow, the Lord showed up and he gave us something amazing like that. You know, so we prayed for that. And it gave, you know, the guy in our fellowship, it gave him confidence to share. Like, you know, this is what happened yesterday. It might be amazing to you, but, you know, we prayed and somebody got, like, you know, your name. And told me, like, I would meet someone, you know, with your name. And I think that was you. So, yeah. And he was a little shocked, to say the least. But just, but that happened. I would challenge you to, we're told to be, always to be ready to give a reason for the defense that we have. I would challenge you to think about why you are a Christian. I mean, we know why we are Christians. You know, we're saved by grace and all that stuff. But I would challenge you to think about what you would say if somebody would ask you, so what's the deal about you? I mean, why do you believe in this? I mean, what's your story? In 3 minutes. Or maybe 5 minutes. Because when people ask you, they might not ask you for like half an hour. You know, can you tell me your story in 45 minutes? I got time, you know. People usually don't have that much time, or something happens, you know. So you might have like a 3 minute, 5 minute span to share like the core of your message or the core of your story. And that's really hard. And, you know, another task would be to cut it down to maybe share something, you know, the main thing about your salvation story or why you're a believer in maybe 1 minute. Because sometimes, you know, things, you know, we live in a world, things happen all the time. Like, why, so you believe in Jesus? Why are you a believer? And you go like, oh, you know, I was born in 1978 and hang on a second, I got a call, you know. And the moment is over, you know. And you're like, oh man, I should have, you know, just told him the main thing, why I believe in Jesus or, you know, what happened to me. I used to be like this and I used to be like that. And then one day, you know, I asked God to, you know, are you real? You know, and something happened and yeah. You know, that's the short version. If you want to hear more, that's fine, you know. But at least you get the main thing of your message or your story. The last thing I'm going to say is be Spirit-filled. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, love and suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Ask God to fill you every day with your Holy Spirit. And I believe He will. And you will carry fruit. You know, fruit is not something that you can force. If you were a tree, you wouldn't be able to force your own fruit. I'm going to do fruit today. You know, it's just not happening. My parents, they still have apple trees. And I'll be honest to you, there have been seasons where we haven't received any apples at all. And we're not, you know, gardening people and, you know, experts and that stuff. So sometimes, you know, apples come and other years apples don't come. And we don't really know why always. But it might have been a bad season. Not enough rain maybe. Maybe not enough sun. So they gave no fruit. And the tree will not produce fruit on itself. It needs input from the outside. It needs water and sunlight. And I think it's the same with us. We need input from the outside. We need fresh water from the Holy Spirit. We need God to shine His light upon us every day so we can, you know, share the fruit of the Holy Spirit to other people. I'm going to end with Psalms 1, and I think it's a beautiful psalm. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of on the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I think, like Raphael said, and when he was referring to this man after Second World War, when he said, the only hope I see for this world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think we all, you know, as Christians, we carry this hope. And we need to realize that this is something amazing that we have. And we might not be able to share, you know, the gospel every day, but we can share a little bit of God's kingdom and pray that God will open doors. I like this psalm when it says, first of all, it says walks. Then second, it says stands. And third is that sits. It means like if you walk in the wrong direction, eventually you find yourself standing in the wrong direction or in the wrong place, and eventually you'll sit there. But to be active and going in the wrong direction and be not of this world, and ask the Lord to fill you with His love and offer people to pray for them in all different situations. I think I'm going to end with that. I think I went pretty long. Maybe we can just, in closing, I can pray, but maybe we can, you're all sitting next to someone. Maybe you can pray for the person next to you, to just, you know, pray for God's blessing upon that person's workplace, and that God would use that person in a certain way at work. Would that be okay? Yeah? So I'm just going to end with a prayer too. And Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace. And thank you for just the opportunity that we have jobs. And I pray for those that would like to work and don't have a job right now. Just pray that you will provide that. But Lord, may we also use our working place to just offer the love of Christ to people and be willing to go sometimes the extra mile or share the knowledge or be a good witness and make people see who you are. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, because we need it more than we think sometimes or all the time. And use your spiritual gifts too at work and when we pray and just before we go to work, you pray and you tell us that we need to talk to someone or give us a word to say to someone or just encourage someone. So thank you so much, and I ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.